You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Reacts. This week we are. It's been kind of slow at the Youth Critic side of things. And so for that, we are only going to be just doing a react video this week. And for this react video, we are going to be doing The Hitman's Bodyguard, Wind River, and Brigsby Bear. We will get started on The Hitman's Bodyguard. So, first off, The Hitman's Bodyguard is the new action buddy comedy from Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. And as far as the movie goes, the trailer and the marketing campaign is far superior than the actual movie. And what I mean by that is, you're in that first teaser where you're, where there's all these jokes and action set pieces playing to Whitney Houston's famous I Will Always Love You from The Bodyguard. It was just a clever way to get people into the movie, and I felt like that was a really good way to get people in. And the movie has fun meta comedic moments. However, this is a very tonally inconsistent movie, and there's just a lot of the same old that you expect from buddy films. And this is the kind of film that, that people would make in the 80s and 90s, like pair up these two people like in Romancing the Stone, Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas, just pair them and send them on an adventure. This is that kind of, pairing up stars and just putting them in a predicament and seeing what hijinks can come out of it. And the script has a clever premise in putting two characters who have jobs that kind of oppose each other, in that Ryan Reynolds is very much the bodyguard and he's protecting clients. And then, of course, Samuel Jackson is the assassin, or in this case, the hitman that's killing everyone. And it's a really good idea for premise. And there's times where the premise works. However, when you're watching the film, the movie only really survives on the chemistry of Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds. Like, the movie only works because of their moments together. And so while I think in hindsight, I feel like the movie could have had a better director, Patrick Hughes, who's not a terrible filmmaker, but not a terrible director at doing the action set pieces and all the other set pieces, but he's kind of, a step below the David Leitch's and the Chad Stahelski's of the world. Like, he's kind of a step below them, and it's really unfortunate. And so as far as The Hitman's Bodyguard is concerned, there was a lot of comedic moments. And Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson are great. There's some awesome bits with Salma Hayek's character, Alita Young, I think that's her name. Girl from Elektra from The Defenders and Daredevil Season 2. She has some really good moments. Gary Oldman's unfortunately just cashing a paycheck like he does with half of his movies. And overall, this movie is a tonally inconsistent film that goes all over the place in terms of, you'll have scenes where Gary Oldman is like shooting a family. It's off screen, but he will shoot like a mother and a wife, or a wife and a daughter, off screen, and just like gladly just kill a whole family. But then you cut like a scene or two later to Samuel Jackson getting gunned down, or and it's comedic. So it's an odd movie. In that it's not totally consistent. The action isn't anything superior to what you have seen, and it just doesn't have the moments that we were all, the bonkers, insane moments that I think most people were hoping for when they went into a movie like this. So with that, it's an average rental, nothing, you know, crazy. I would just only really see it for Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson chemistry, and also Salma Hayek steals every scene in the movie, steals every scene that she's in, and then just try to ignore the terrible score that's in the movie, that's generic and basically worse than stock music, stock action music. So moving on to Wind River. This is the new Taylor Sheridan movie, or I should say new Taylor Sheridan script, since he has been primarily a writer on Sicario and Hell or High Water, and this is his, you know, directing debut and his third script, I think, he's done, and this is an astounding directing debut. And while I don't think it's as cerebral or has the directing gravitas as his other two movies, this is by far, but this is a really good script. It's still a really good, compelling mystery. It's set in the frontier, so there's a lot of beautiful mountain landscapes. He still surrounds himself with talented actors like Elizabeth Olsen, Jeremy Renner, Gil Birmingham. It's just, you know, a great, astounding cast and lots of really good surprises. My only gripes about the film is that it's not, it, like I said, it's not as, you know, director like show off, or as, you know, it impacts those moments as much as Sicario or Hell or High Water, but it still works from a writing standpoint. And also, this is the second movie, not in a row per se, but the second movie that Taylor Sheridan has written where, and this is a minor spoiler, but I don't think it technically, but you don't see it, but I'm not going to tell you where it's at. But this is the second movie in a row where a male protagonist or a male lead comes up to the strong, or what's supposedly the strong female character who is naive and is coming into a new environment. He basically sits and tells her, this is not your fight. You're not meant for this fight. This is, you know, this is a dangerous world, you know, where people have to survive. And first of all, it works in, the first time it happened in a Taylor Sheridan movie is in Sicario, when Benicio del Toro and Emily Blunt's characters, they have to like sit down. They're sitting down and she's, you know, looking at Benicio del Toro as a murderer and as, you know, a monster. And he needs her to essentially sign off waivers to say that everything they did was okay. And she's against it. But while like he's trying to convince her, that this is not a war for her. And what he's kind of really implying, in the way I always saw it in Sicario, is this is not a war for the law. This is not a war where you can come in and where people who are straight from civilization and do things lawfully can come in and win wars. This is going to be a long battle, probably an infinite war, regarding the drug war. And that's how, and so it works in Sicario for Benicio del Toro to basically force Emily Blunt's character out of essentially the war on drugs. And excuse me. But in this movie, it doesn't quite work as well because really the environment that we're in it doesn't sell as dangerous as the war on drugs. So, or the battle at the, on the border, or the war on the border. And so it doesn't quite work as well. But other than that, it's a really compelling movie, and I wish people would check it out. It's now like expanded everywhere. It should be out in major metropolitan areas. So please check this out. And for my last movie I'm going to talk about is Bigsby Bear. It was a Sundance hit, most notably for having Mark Hamill in a movie where he's not playing Luke Skywalker. And overall, I thought it was not amazing, but it's so to include people in. Bigsby Bear is a film that about a person who is experiencing who has been kind of locked away. It's, you know, his in like a place in the desert his whole life, surrounded by only his, you know, parents. And then, of course, like, he's kind of freed by society, only to realize that the people he has been with the last 25 years as his parents are really just his kidnappers. And his kidnappers have basically controlled every aspect of his life. It educated him in every, you know, facet of, you know, of his life. And used this, you know, kind of public access style show called Bigsby Bear to kind of inform his, you know, opinions and thoughts and, you know, his, you know, moral guidelines. And after he realizes that everything, you know, there was no Bigsby Bear show and that there was nothing, you know, that really the whole show ends with his parents, it becomes a journey for him to kind of finish out the show. And normally in these kind of, you know, films, I would be okay with them, you know, just having fun, seeing like the, you know, the growth of the character through him making this public access show. And actually I kind of pitched to a friend yesterday about the idea of doing, like, what if the movie was actually just a person who really loved this public access show that got canceled for whatever, you know, reasons, and he wanted to see it, you know, finished, and so he spends, like, every last dime, and he does, it's just, you know, it becomes this heartwarming story. And I wished it would have been that. And I know that's going to sound crazy, you know, because you would think the traumatic child or traumatic 25-year-old trying to ease his way back into society, you would think that would be a more interesting approach. But I don't think the filmmakers here quite figured it out how to do it in a very meaningful and very in a very meaningful way, in that it. In order to say something about traumatic people who've been, you know, held up in one, you know, spot and held up in an environment in a very long time unknowingly. And I don't think the movie does justice to those victims, and I don't know if it is trying to, per se. So it's an odd movie. But the stuff about them trying to recreate the Bigsby Bear show, is actually quite okay. Like, it's actually sort of entertaining. There's a lot of laughter to be there, and Kyle Mooney does give a really decent performance. Like, he really is trying to give a really worthwhile performance. So it's an intriguing idea of a movie that I don't think lands in all the right places it needs to or meets its full potential. So I'm going to just give it a, and also a rent it recommendation, much like I did with Hitman's Bodyguard. So that is it for the Youth Critic Reacts. We will be back next week. We are planning on doing a Logan Lucky show next week, and I am planning on doing the Defenders next week as well. So we will have two podcasts coming out next week. And as far as other shows coming up, we will do a Netflix show, like a Netflix podcast reviewing like certain stuff that has come out, certain highlights of what's come out on Netflix, and review some stuff there. And I think we'll do the end of summer, and then we'll do a summer or a fall movie preview that will probably be also our It podcast as well. And then we'll just, you know, go from there. We're about to hit award season, and then we'll hit the holiday movie season. And then we'll be done with this year. So, awesome. And as far as retrospectives concerning, I have a couple planned for September. And then there's going to be a Halloween retrospective series in October. And after that, we'll kind of figure it out from there. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in this week, and we will be back with you next week for Logan Lucky podcast and the Marvel's The Defenders podcast. Thanks, everyone, and we'll be back with you next week.